Does this apply to performance leadership systems, or is it just a kind of an offshoot of it?
Well, I think all of the people issues, you know, as if we talk about people and their work lives, it very definitely applies to performance leadership systems. There are things about companies. I will never know the company as well as the people who work inside of it. Right. I will never know their industry, mm-hmm. which is why my whole process is one of making it a joint process. Right. Yes, I have certain knowledge and skills. I need to blend those with yours in order to help you come up with the best solutions for your companies.
Right.
But in the final analysis, it's going to have to be your decision because you've got to live with the consequences.
No.
And... who hasn't had challenges in their life when it comes to work?
Yep. Everybody right? does. It's a daily thing.
And, how people dealt with that and how they might have dealt with it differently if they're comfortable talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you, Chris. I've made more than my share of mistakes. Right?
No, I'm perfect, man.
Yeah, and you know, this business of, well,
one mistake.
Yeah, I have no regrets, and I wouldn't change anything or do anything differently.
Yep.
No offense between you and me, I don't buy it.
Yeah, no, it's,
you haven't lived very hard.
What's the old adage that if everybody put their problems into a middle, they'd all pick their own?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, we tend to be our own harshest judge.
That's correct. Well, this is really cool. I'm so glad that I had you on. I'm so glad that we could chat a little bit about performance leadership systems. And I'm really excited about that you're going to be bringing this to everybody 1 hour a week, bringing your expertise and your insight into it.
I'd like to see that change.
There you go. Pleasure having you on, David. David's going to be on 1 to 2 on Tuesdays. We're coming up with an official title in the very near future. And pleasure having you on. Good luck with the performance leadership systems. And I'd love to be a guest sometime.
Count on it.
All right, cool.
Thanks very much, Chris.
Thank you. That is David White. And he is here, performance leadership systems. Vincent Arlino says, never say I should have. If you have an organization that is struggling with performance, struggling with efficiency, opportunity, or having some family issues, give David a call. He is at the ready to help you. It's been my pleasure to be with you as I am every weekday morning, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Thank you to David White. Thank you to Michelle Heidi. And thank you to Mike for their contribution to the show. We'll be back again tomorrow morning with an abbreviated show. You've been listening to Good Morning Huntington on HuntingChamberRadio.com.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
There may have been a catastrophic event on that missing Egypt Air flight that disappeared while flying from Paris to Cairo. USA Radio News director Russ Jones has been following the story. Russ?
John, the Airbus A320 was flying from Paris to Cairo when it lost contact with radar tracking earlier today. Flight 804 was carrying 56 passengers and a crew of 10. And John, authorities say terrorism hasn't been ruled out.
Thanks, Russ. There are reports that Flight 804 made abrupt turns, swerving 90 degrees right, then 360 degrees left as it dropped from 37,000 feet. And a jury will now decide a civil suit surrounding the 2012 Colorado theater shooting. Closing arguments held yesterday, families of the victims suing Cinemark Theater saying the company should have had more security to protect their loved ones. Gunman James Holmes serving a life sentence for killing 12 people and wounding 70 others.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Good morning, this is Tony Clark, and this is Some Things About Money. It's Tuesday, 11:06 a.m., August 23rd, and we'll do a quick weather report before we get started. It's 71 degrees here in Flemington, New Jersey. Sunny all day with a high near 81, light west winds. Tonight we'll have patchy fog after 3 a.m., otherwise mostly clear with a low around 55. Wednesday, more sun with a high near 86, calm wind becoming southwest around 6 miles per hour in the afternoon. Wednesday night, mostly clear with a low around 60. And more sun on Thursday with a high near 84. And looks like all weekend, mostly sunny, highs near 89. It's going to be a good weekend, Joe. We're going to do another quick commercial, and then we'll be back with Joe Patton and Some Things About Money.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
And we're off. This is Joe Patton, and you are listening to Some Things About Money. Welcome on this beautiful August day. It really feels like the end of September, beginning of October. There's almost no humidity. The temperature is just wonderful, a nice, gentle breeze. And here we are inside the Chamber Radio Studio here in downtown Flemington, New Jersey. Well, let's start with a market update. Let's take a look at what's happening in U.S. European markets. U.S. currently Dow Jones Industrial Average, 18,574.96. That's up 45.5 points. The S&P 500 is sitting at 2,189, up 7.21. The NASDAQ, which bumped into a record high today, is at 52.64. That's up over 19. Over in Europe, yeah, we're taking a look at green on the screen. The DAX is up 113, 1.08%. The FTSE is up 0.7. And the CAC, let's see, that is up almost a full 1%. Oil prices, Tony. Oil positive. Iran signaling a willingness for OPEC action to boost prices. Oil is up 64 cents a barrel to $48.05. Gold. Well, let's see, staying above its two-week low, waiting for investor rate conversation from the Fed. Gold is currently up $2.80 an ounce at $13.46.20, and the 10-year Treasury, with all of that going on, well, bonds are ticking lower as oil has been coming under pressure, and the markets are waiting for Janet Yellen's speech. The 10-year Treasury is currently sitting in the vicinity of, wait for it, it's coming. Maybe it isn't. Let's see. A little crazy with the technology right now, because I know the 10-year rate is sitting at 1.5492. So that's just up a tick, about a penny. So there we go. Let's see, what else is going on? Well, you take a look at the green markets. One of the reasons why markets go higher is because earnings usually go higher. Through last Friday, 480 or 96% of the S&P 500 companies had reported their second quarter financial results. Now, according to Bloomberg data, approximately 72% of companies have reported better than expected results, which we believe is above the historical average. Typically, about two-thirds of the companies report better than expected results during an expanding economic backdrop. Thus far, earnings per share for the quarter are down 2.6% versus a year ago levels, up 1.7% if you take the energy sector out. The energy sector earnings per share, well, that was down a little bit worse than expected, about 82% from a year ago levels, with the next worst performance, that of the material sector, which posted an earnings decline of 9%, according to Bloomberg. Now, both sectors suffered serious revenue headwinds from sharply lower commodity prices. Sales results, meanwhile, were moderately better, with total sales per share down just a tenth of a percent, but up 2.8% with the energy sector excluded. Total quarter three S&P 500 earnings are currently expected to be down about 1% versus a year ago, improving to a solid 8% year-over-year gain by the fourth quarter, based primarily on better year-over-year comparisons for the energy sector. Currently, consensus estimates look for the S&P 500 earnings to be flat in 2016 and 14% higher in 2017. In our view, well, 2017 gains are largely fueled by stronger energy commodity prices and a more stable U.S. dollar, and thus the targets could be achievable if trends in these two areas remain favorable. Well, let's see. What else do we want to take a look at? How does New Jersey stack up? You know, I was looking at an article that was talking about the best and worst states for families to live a richer life. And that really doesn't mean that your family's wealthy. It means having access to opportunities that really could increase the quality of your living. Finding the right place to live a richer life really isn't easy. So Go Banking Rates researched and evaluated all 50 states in the District of Columbia to identify which states provided the best income, housing, healthcare, and schooling opportunities. Now, 12 factors were analyzed and divided up into five categories. The categories were jobs and income, you know, median household income and state unemployment rate, housing, medium home listing price and effective state property tax, lifestyle, state tax rates, annual child care costs, cost of groceries, and you know, school district rates, health care, average family health insurance premium, and percentage of employer contribution to employee health insurance. And the other category was safety, violent crime rates. And here in Hunterdon County, we have very low crime rates compared to the rest of the state. But you know, they're looking at violent crime rates and property crime rates as well. Now, each category was scored on a normalized scale from 0 to 100, with 0 being the worst and 100 being the best. The national average scores for each category were, you know, number one, jobs and income, 46, housing, 68, lifestyle, 57, healthcare, 55, and safety, 60. So that's kind of the benchmark when you're looking at the averages. Well, how did New Jersey do? Let's take a look at Jersey. For New Jersey, well, jobs and income score, that happened to be 67 compared to the national average of 46. Pretty good. Housing score, well, the national average for housing was 68. New Jersey, 32. Not all that great. Lifestyle score, national average was 57. Jersey, 60. A little bit better than average. Healthcare, the healthcare average was 55. Jersey only scored 49. And safety, average was 60. Jersey scored 72. Now, New Jersey, out of all 50 states plus the District of Columbia, came in 41st. So, out of 50 plus one. So, not all that great. I see New Jersey really is a mixed bag of great benefits and costly expenses for living a richer family life. Jersey ranks in the top 10 states for the best jobs and income score, notably boasting the second highest median household income of $72,062. New Jersey also provides good education opportunities for children, scoring the second highest school district rate. What brings the state down are high taxes, health care, and housing. Well, we all know about the housing here in Hunterdon County. Now, New Jersey, unfortunately, sees the second highest sales tax, the second highest average health insurance premium, as well as a costly child care area. Now, worse, New Jersey has the lowest housing score. At $299,900, it has the ninth most expensive medium home price and the nation's highest property tax at 2.38%. And, you know, the state legislature and the governor wanted to increase the gasoline tax, which would probably push us to an even higher number than 41, or lower, as the case may be. So that's where we stand in terms of the quality of life issue here for the state of New Jersey. I don't have it. Probably one of the western states would be number one, Tony. So, but a lot of the eastern states just don't rank as well. A lot of it is quality of life and taxes. Northeast is very high in the tax scale. So what's some of the other things that we're looking at? Well, we're going to talk a little bit later about home prices. We've had some very good home figures come out this morning. And we'll talk a little bit more about income inequality and corn. Corn's been a poppin'. We'll talk about that. And when we come back, there'll be more conversation about some things about money.
Rapp Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rapp Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntonChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
And we're back. This is Joe Patton, Certified Financial Planner with Patton Heidi & Associates, located at 1318 Route 31 North in beautiful Annandale, New Jersey, in that outstanding-looking Gebhardt & Kiefer office with the brick and the huge American flag right out front on Route 31. If you'd like to talk to us, make an appointment, come in, see Tony, see me, see Michelle, Tracy, Christina, or see all of us at one time. Give us a call at 908-713-6600. Look us up on Facebook, on Google. Check out our website. Like us on Facebook, because we like to be liked, and we like you too. And if you do come in, we're going to spend almost all of the time talking about you, because after all, that's why you would be there, to talk about the things that are important to you in your financial life, or you and your family. And at the end of the meeting, you'll be able to determine whether or not you like us and whether or not you think we can help you, and we'll determine whether or not we think we can help you too. So that's what will take place. I encourage people to take us up on that offer, because it is a wonderful opportunity, and after all, who's more important in your financial life than you? Tony, just back from vacation, and she doesn't want to talk about it. She warned me that she talks enough on the commercial and to me at the break, and I think I might honor that. Maybe we'll see later on if she wants to say something to us. Income inequality, big topic of late, really heavily debated topic over the last few years. Wealthy Americans have done quite well amid rising asset values, real estate, and investments, while most other American families have seen their fair share of wealth decline amid relatively weak wage growth. I wonder if that was George Bush's fault. According to the CBO's recent released Trends in Family Wealth report, Americans had a total net worth of approximately $67 trillion in 2013. Now, even after adjusting for inflation, this was more than double the levels of 1989. As noted a little bit earlier on in this segment, however, most of the gains since 1989 have accrued to those in the top 10% of the spectrum. Now, that doesn't mean they're the evil people. The upper segments of the middle class have also seen their wealth grow, although their share has actually declined. So, just to be clear, their share of the increase is lower than it had been before. According to the report, the average wealth of the families in the 51st to 90th percentile of the distribution grew to $316,000 from $235,000. The figures are adjusted for inflation. Yet their share of the pie dropped from 30% to 23%. The average net worth of American families in the 25th to 50th percentile ranges also declined modestly on an absolute basis. In 1981, the segment had average wealth of $38,000, while in 2013, it was $36,000. So, yes, the rich have gotten richer, but when you take a look at the impact of the collapse of 2008, it was the investor class who had the largest decline in their net worth, because I guess you would say they had the most to lose, and they had money positioned in the areas that took major hits as the result of that economic downturn, where most of the middle class and lower income groups didn't have that much invested, so their declines weren't as great. But when you look at the wage number as opposed to the net worth number, it's a different story. So, you know, you really have to figure out what statistics you're taking a look at in order to make a true determination of the disparity between the lower income and net worth levels and the higher top 1%. Home prices, Tony. Yeah, we're near and dear to the hearts of Hunterdon County, and we already mentioned that it's not a good statistic compared here in New Jersey to the national average. But a report that came out on CNBC this morning, U.S. new home sales race to near 9-year highs in July, reaching their highest level in nearly 9 years as demand increased broadly, brightening the housing market outlook. Now, the Commerce Department said today new home sales surged 12.4% to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 654,000 units last month, and that's the highest level since October of 2007. June's sales pace was revised down to 582,000 units from the previously reported 592,000 units. Now, economists polled by Reuters had forecast single-family home sales, which account for about 9.6% of the overall home sales, slipping to a rate of 580,000 units last month. July's increase, however, likely exaggerates the housing market strength, as it has not been matched by robust housing starts. Still, sales were up 31.3% from a year ago. That's a whoopee. Last month's surprise increase pushed new home sales well above their second quarter average, pointing to sustained momentum in the market for new homes. Residential construction was a minor drag on economic growth in the second quarter. Housing market strength, marked by rising home values, which are boosting household wealth, is helping to buoy consumer spending, cushioning the blow on the economy from a downturn in business spending, as well as an inventory correction. Tightening labor market conditions, which are steadily lifting wages as well as mortgage rates being near historic lows, are supporting housing. Reports last week showed groundbreaking on single-family housing projects rose to a five-month high in July, and sentiment among home builders increasing in August. New home sales are likely benefiting from a chronic shortage of previously owned houses available for sale. So not a lot of resales out there, and I know that's the case here in Hunterdon as well. New single-family homes soared 40% in the Northeast, and, of course, that's good news for friends of the show, Judy Gold from Caldwell Banker and our buddy Joe Peters from Weikert. Northeast increased 1.2% in the Midwest, 40% in the Northeast. Sales in the populous South jumped 18.1% to their highest level since July 2007. Sales were flat in the West, which has seen a sharp increase in home prices amid tight inventories. Last month, the inventory of new homes on the market fell 2.9% to 233,000 units, and that was the lowest since November of last year. This means builders will need to ramp up construction activity to meet demand. Last, in July, I guess, sales... it would take 4.3 months to clear the supply of houses on the market. Now, that's the fewest since June of 2013 and down from 4.9 months in June. So not taking as long to sell. That's a good thing. Good for the homeowners. The median price for a new home slipped to 0.5% from the year ago to $294,600. So... some positive numbers for housing. We like that. What's also positive, we're still looking at green on the screen for the markets, but we're slipping. We were up over 100 points briefly. Now the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 39. It's about 0.2%. The S&P is up 8, just under 0.4%. The NASDAQ is up 0.4%, up 22.28 points. Looking in Europe, that's slipping a bit as well. The DAX is now up 0.95%, FTSE 0.6, CAC up 0.7. So that's pretty much where we are with the markets. Asia was kind of mixed overnight. Oil prices still up 51 cents a barrel to $47.92. Gold is up 50 cents an ounce to $13.43.90. So that's still green. The 10-year Treasury at 1.5526. So an update on the market. So hopefully all of you folks are paying attention to the campaign that's out there for president. It seems that we're getting a kinder and gentler Donald Trump, who came out with some semblance of an apology recently. And as far as Hillary Clinton goes, we're not seeing very much of Secretary Clinton these days. And I guess that's sort of feeding the rumors about her health concerns. There were some pictures on the internet yesterday that created a little bit of suspicion about the condition of her health. And I wish her the best. We want to have a good debate season coming up, and we want to have healthy candidates to choose from. Gary Johnson seems to be doing okay in the polls as a Libertarian. I would like to see him personally up on the stage with Donald Trump and Secretary Clinton. Always like to get different points of view. And I guess former Governor Johnson is pretty much in between Donald Trump to the right and Secretary Clinton to the left. And you know, it occurs to me from reading a lot of stuff and a lot of the interviews and the polls and talking to a lot of people that I know, especially here in Hunterdon County, that we would kind of like a centrist alternative to the nonsense that we're seeing from both the Democrats and the Republicans. And having more to choose from seems to be more American than anything else, and it's always good to have choice. So I don't understand what those parties are afraid of by having a third option in the race. But then again, when you take a look at the DNC and you know, the emails indicating that, I guess from a Bernie Sanders supporter point of view, the election for the Democratic nominee was somewhat rigged. And from the Republican point of view, it was rigged in the sense that the news media appeared to be all things Trump, all doing the Republican nomination process. And then once he achieved the nomination, kind of turned on him and trashed him at every opportunity. Not that that was some grand conspiracy. It just seems to be the case. So we'll have to keep a closer eye on that as we get closer to the debates and the election, because after all, it has an awful lot to do with things about your money. This is Joe Patton, Certified Financial Planner. You are listening to Some Things About Money. And after the break, we will be back to talk about more stuff.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
One U.S. service member has died in Afghanistan today, and a second has been wounded when the unit triggered an improvised explosive device on foot patrol during an anti-Taliban operation. The U.S. forces were training Afghan soldiers at the time. Six of them were also injured. No word on the identities of the two service members. Hillary Clinton on late night TV making some jokes about some serious issues.
My emails are so boring.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I'm embarrassed about that.
Correspondent Earl Kirk has more.
Hillary Clinton poking fun at the rumors about her health.
Back in October, the National Enquirer said I would be dead in 6 months.
Oh, wow. Oh,
so with every breath I take, I feel like it's a...
You have a new lease on life.
Yeah, a new lease on life.
On ABC's Jimmy Kimmel Live, the Democratic presidential nominee said she doesn't understand why Donald Trump's camp would perpetuate such rumors.
This is USA Radio News.
Hey everybody, singer-songwriter Brett Watts here. If you're like me, always on the go, and don't have time to stay as healthy as we would like by eating all the right foods, well, I found an incredibly simple and easy way to get all my fruits and vegetables at once. It's called Daily Lift, L-I-F-T. It's a superfoods energy drink mix supplement that fills the gaps between what you eat and what you don't always have time to eat. This unique formula is packed with 16-plus fruits and vegetables and 59 superfoods, no MSG or GMO. It's all natural and organic, nature's best combination of antibiotics, enzymes, probiotics, and beneficial allergies in one powdered drink mix. Comes in two flavors, mint and berry, and both delicious. Daily Lift nutrients help balance your body's pH levels and boost your energy naturally. And it's safe for kids. So let's fire up that immune system and stay focused. Go to www.onedailylift.com. That's one, O-N-E, dailylift.com. Onedailylift.com, and let's get healthy.
Hello again, this is Tony Clark of Patton, Heidi & Associates, and it is 71 degrees here in Flemington, New Jersey. It is August 23rd, 11:33 a.m. Today it'll be sunny with a high near 81. Tonight, patchy fog around 3 a.m., otherwise mostly clear with a low around 55. Wednesday, more sun with a high near 86. And Thursday, more sun again with a high near 84. Looks like a good weekend with a high near 99, mostly sunny, partly cloudy in the evenings with a low around 66. We're back with Joe Patton with Some Things About Money.
Welcome. Yes, you are listening to Some Things About Money, and this is Joe Patton, Certified Financial Planner with Patton 90 Associates. We have a rather interesting day today. We just keep moving a little bit lower, kind of grinding lower, lower, lower. Not quite sure why. Maybe it's because we're getting a little pricey in the equity markets, according to most analysts, even our own here at Ameriprise. So we have to start to be concerned with the fact that we're still up around record levels. And every time we get to this point, it seems that people find an excuse to push the market a little bit lower. And if that were to happen, I hope that you are prepared to take advantage of these sale prices. In fact, you know, there's some people out there talking about a black swan event. Now, what is a black swan? in financial services, it's really an event that was unforeseen. It kind of sneaks up on you and bites you after it kind of hawks at you a few times. But in this case, the Black Swan event might be a recovery of the Trump campaign, because so much of the money right now, especially from the Wall Street ilk, is going towards Secretary Clinton. Yeah, if you're not quite aware of that, she has been getting like $250,000 speaking fees for talking in front of financial services firms like Goldman Sachs and whatnot. And those are the speeches that people are asking to have released, and they haven't been up to this point. So there's been a lot of that over the last few years. And so the consensus is that Secretary Clinton would be really good for Wall Street, because I suspect, and I'm sure you suspect as well, that nobody gives you $250,000 for an hour speech, plus, you know, a flight in something about the size of an Airbus and, you know, a limo and, you know, first class accommodations at a local hotel, unless you expect to get something in return for that investment. So I think more rational minds would be of the belief that Wall Street is feeling really good about their investment in Secretary Clinton. Donald Trump, on the other hand, he's this wild card out there who hasn't received any money from Wall Street. In fact, they're kind of going out of their way right now to say nasty things about the Donald. So if he happens to move up in the polls with this new kinder and gentler campaign that he's attempting to run, you can see that that would literally put the fear of God into these people and would probably create a negative knee-jerk reaction in the equity markets. And, of course, this is all conspiracy theory. I don't have any unique knowledge that this would indeed be the case, but it seems to be the opinion of certain analysts out there who are blogging about that and talking about it on some of the financial channels. So, you know, if they're talking about it and it did happen where he was showing improvement, it may just turn out to be a self-fulfilling, the implementation of a contrived conspiracy theory by these people who may be trying to force prices down, and that's what I'm getting to. We're probably about 3.5 years or so overdue for a 15 to 20% pullback in equities, which don't get all panicked about, because it's a normal thing to happen. Usually about every 3.75 years, we get one of these things. And after about 6 months from the recovery period, we all forget that it happened until the next one occurs, much like we get a 10% correction a couple of times every year. And after we recover from them, people forget about the last one, and then they start fearing for the next one. And I always remind clients that, you know, this really isn't something that we should be all that concerned about, because after all, think back in your lifetime. All of the financial events that you can remember, and, you know, for most of you, it's probably from the oil embargo and the gas lines to, oh, see, after the Carter years, you were looking at double-digit inflation and 42.5% marginal tax rates on the middle class. You were looking at 17.5% 30-year fixed mortgages, hardly a good quality economic period in our history. And then you had the crash of 87, the Resolution Trust scandal in the early 90s, the Hunt brothers trying to corner the silver market and the negative impact on commodity prices. You had things like Bear Stearns. You had defaults by countries like Russia and Mexico and I think Argentina. You had the Lehman Brothers, the housing crisis. You had 9/11. You had the technology bubble bursting. And with all of those events, the markets just dove because they were those black swan events. But they all have one thing in common. They recovered, and then they went higher. And the biggest regret for investors, actually there were two, the people who panicked and sold at the bottom, and the other regret was one of greed. The people who had lived through these types of events before and allowed fear, which of course is defined as false emotion appearing real, get in the way of their logic and their knowledge of their own personal investment history. And they didn't act, and they didn't take advantage of that huge sale in the markets. Well, if we happen to get another one in the not-too-distant future, it's just a function of when, not if. keep this in mind, because it won't be the last one that we will have. It'll just be the latest one. And it'll be another opportunity for those who are wise and who are logical and who are prepared to take advantage of, in order for them to build their wealth for things like use for their college education of their children, the vacation home, retiring within the lifestyle that they've always dreamed of having. So these are the opportunities that don't come every day. They come in cycles, and they come at regular intervals, except this time, which could be as the result of the Fed artificially controlling interest rates and the money supply. And as we're getting back to normal, I suspect that we're going to begin to see more regular cycles in market movement. And again, position yourself to take advantage of it, because actually we don't get one of these every month. And if you don't take advantage of that major friends and family sale in the markets, shame on you. Tony, we talked about corn. Holy crap, that's a lot of corn. Wow. According to the U.S. Agriculture Department, favorable rainfall, good weather, and an early start to spring planting are potentially heading towards a fall corn harvest that's going to be near historic highs. According to the recent World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates report, total U.S. corn supplies are projecting towards 16.9 billion bushels of corn. That's up 1.5 billion bushels from the prior year. Making matters worse for corn prices, when these estimates were released a month ago, the existing levels of corn in supply was increased up 5 million bushels from prior estimates. With supply at 16.9 billion bushels and demand closer to 14.5 billion bushels, well, you know how that works. The USDA raised its corn ending stock estimates, which, if accurate, would leave the U.S. This winter with the highest average corn ending stocks since 1987-88. In other words, record demand, including exports, is more than sufficiently covered by this year's potential yield. As a result of the potential pending oversupply situation, corn prices have dropped significantly in recent weeks, so get it on your menu for your barbecue. Back towards two-year lows, the USDA lowered its estimated season average corn price received to $2.85 per bushel. Let's see, to $3.45 per bushel. At those levels, this would be down nearly 45 cents per bushel at the midpoint from the average price received by farmers in 2015-16, according to USDA data at $3.60 per bushel last year. Who could be impacted by farmers having lower than normal income to spend next year? Great question. And the most immediate negative impact would be on manufacturing names tied to agriculture, fertilizer names tied to crop nutrients, and seed companies within the chemical sector, in our view. To a lesser degree, insurance companies that offer insurance crop protection to the industry could experience a tailwind, as the number of claims after a bumper year could potentially be tracking well below historic norms. Corn prices toward the end of June were approaching $4.40 per bushel, although a lot has changed in recent weeks. In our opinion, with an average USDA forecast bushel price at around $3.50 per bushel being the new reality for 2016-17, agriculture investments could be in for another chilly winter. So, if you're looking for some guidance on agricultural products and the companies that circle those products, we just gave it to you. No, you're listening to Some Things About Money here. This is Joe Patton, Certified Financial Planner with Patton, Heidi & Associates. And again, if you'd like to contact us, give us a holler at 908-713-6600. When we come back from our last break, we may talk about a little bit of a macro crude oil update. There's also some other stuffs here. Well, let's see, about the Fed meeting coming up and Brexit and yada, yada, yada. Yeah, I think we've beaten that to death, but we'll see what we come back and talk about after the break. You're listening again to Some Things About Money.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
And we're back. Joe Patton again, Certified Financial Planner, Patton Hyde & Associates. You're listening to Some Things About Money, and we're racing into the last 10 minutes of the show. Oh, Tony, the day is going so fast. We just can't wait to get outside and enjoy this beautiful weather. But let's talk about U.S. equities, because after all, it's all about the markets. No, it's not, but a lot of people think it is. U.S. equities turned fractionally lower last week. We've been watching that. We're hoping and hoping and hoping for that sale. But, kind of a directionalist trading pattern. You know, the much anticipated release of the Federal Reserve's July meeting minutes didn't really resolve all that much in terms of the Fed intention. And the UK consumer seemed to shrug off the Brexit vote. What was that? That Brexit knee-jerk reaction that everybody was concerned about lasted all of 2.5 days? Yes. It's amazing. You got to act quick when these opportunities arise. Now, last week, it was the energy sector that led the way with a 2.5% gain against a backdrop of short covering in response to talk of a production freeze by OPEC members. We mentioned that about Iran earlier. And the other major foreign producers, Brent crude, climbed almost $4 to end the week at $50.88 a barrel since bottoming at $41.80 on August 2nd and entering a bear market from its peak of $53.26. On June 8th, crude has just as quickly once again entered a bull rally. Other sectors enjoying some support last week included materials and industrials, helped in part by the weaker dollar, which has slid about 3% since late July. Also turning slightly higher last week were financials and telecom. Leading the way lower were utilities, which lost 1.2%, and healthcare and consumer discretionary, both down 0.6%. Overall, stocks have trended sideways since establishing their present narrow trading range following a release of the July jobs report back on August 5th. Nor did investors want to get in the way of the Fed, some members of which have been warning recently that the market may be underpricing the likelihood of another rate hike sooner than later. How long have they been saying that now? Amazing. However, the July minutes released on Wednesday did not seem to betray any particular tilt towards a more hawkish stance. The Fed viewed the economy as having improved since its previous meeting and noted the muted reaction to the Brexit vote. But it also acknowledged that inflationary pressures remain below its target and that overseas uncertainties do remain. In response, investors lowered fractionally their expectations for another rate hike for the remainder of the year. Now, despite this relatively benign reading, Fed officials continue to caution that markets may be too complacent. The latest to weigh in was Fed Vice Chair Stanley Fischer, who noted on Sunday that the Fed was close to meeting its economic objectives. This week, the annual Jackson Hole Symposium takes place and often produces clues regarding the Fed's intentions. Bond yields, well, they drifted slightly higher over the course of the week, but they too showed a little direction. The yield on the 2-year note rose 3 basis points to close at 0.74%, and the 10-year rose 7 basis points to end the week at 1.58%. The other major data point we are watching from overseas turned out to be a big surprise. The July retail sales from the UK presented an opportunity to get a look at the full month data for the first time following the Brexit vote in late June. After sharp declines in sentiment surveys in the interim, the retail sales report was expected to be barely positive. Instead, we got an extremely robust report that completely defied expectations, variously, well, say, attributed to good weather, strong wage gains, overseas buyers taking advantage of the weaker pound, and the month-to-month volatility in this series. The report, at the very least, postponed the hand-wringing surrounding the economic consequences of the vote to leave the European Union. They may yet appear, but apparently not in July. As for the U.S., the economic data last week was also greatly solid, led by industrial production, housing starts, and leading indicators. This week, the calendar is a little more robust with scheduled reports, including the one that came out this morning on new and existing home sales, flash manufacturing and service PMI, durable goods, and July personal income and spending. So a lot of stuff, a lot of reports that are currently showing up. Need to pay attention to all of this good stuff. Let's see. Where do we want to go from here? The Dow again. Now it's up a little bit of a recovery. 41.43 to 18,570. S&P 500 at 2190. I know looking at CNBC.com, somebody's out there calling for 2500. Isn't someone always calling for 2,500 on the S&P 500? And then the next day, they'll probably be calling for about 1,900. Yes. And, of course, investors like yourselves are out there saying, who do I believe? Because every time I turn on the television or go on the Internet, somebody's giving conflicting information. Well, you got to remember that this is media, especially when you're watching television or listening to the radio. And after all, it's all about earnings. So what do? When things get a little bad, and I've said this before, but it's worth repeating, they go to the closet. They open the door. They drag out the old grizzly bear. And they say, growl. We're going to dust you off. We're going to stick an earpiece in your ear, put a microphone on your lapel, plop you down in a chair in front of a TV camera, and we want you to growl. And we want you to get people nervous. And we want you to do this because if you don't, we're going to throw you back in the closet. Your job is to keep them nervous and tuned in. So when the next Nielsen rating comes out, we get good ratings, which means we could increase the price of our advertising. And after all, it's all about earnings for ourselves and our shareholders. So get to work. And that's what happens. They're out there to get you nervous and to forget that these are just parts of normal cycles for you and I to take advantage of. Because when you do forget and they do their job, then you do dumb things like selling low and buying high and listening to the advice of people who are just out there to raise viewership and revenue for the corporations that own all of these media outlets. So a little bit of education is a good thing. After all, that's what the Department of Labor fiduciary rules that were recently passed are all about, you know. What do I get from my financial advisor going forward? Who is a financial advisor and what are the obligations? Do they work under a suitability standard, which is what we call the good enough standard, which means they have an obligation to their income and to the share value of the corporation that they work for? Or do they work under a fiduciary standard? which means that they have an obligation to do what's in your best interest, to share with you how they're compensated. Talk about whether or not, you know, there are any regulatory issues in your closet. To talk about who oversees your activities from a compliance standpoint. Talk about your educational background. And, you know, talk about how you go about your business. All of those things. And fully explain the terms and conditions of the funds or the ETFs or the annuities, any investment vehicle that they're recommending, how it works, what it costs, features and benefits, any restrictions, and why it's in your best interest to buy this product given all of the conditions of your financial life to ensure that it's what you should be doing as opposed to what's going to give them the biggest commission check. Because after all, you know, if there's a commission on a $500,000 401k rollover that they want to put into a variable annuity, $50,000 in commission for about 2 hours' work. What a deal! Yeah, you would think people would love to take that every day of the week. So it's important that you become a better educated consumer of financial services, that you know what questions to ask, that you know all of the features of the products that they're putting in front of you that are listed on that application that they desperately want you to sign. Not to mention, you're John Hancock on that check. Unless, of course, it's the paperwork for the rollover from the company that you used to work with. Because if you don't ask those questions, they don't have to tell you. At least not until the middle of 2017, and in some cases 2018 for certain things. Originally, when the rule came out, they were going to outlaw certain things like untraded REITs, annuities, when it came to IRA, 401k, rollover investments and retirement accounts. But the industry screamed. They said, you're going to put people out of business. We're living off of these investments. How could you say that they're not in the consumer's best interest? You don't want to put our people on the street, so we increase the entitlement group. So a lot of money was thrown at people. K Street was making a fortune in Washington, D.C., working on the legislature to get them to say, you know, maybe we ought to make some revisions in this rule. And it turned out that they did. So going forward, as of 2017, they can sell you these things that the regulators up to this point were thinking that were not appropriate for retirees because of the costs and the six-figure hit that you would take on your retirement account by buying them. So now these advisors have to get you to sign a letter under the BICE agreement, best interest. They have to show you in writing that it's a good recommendation. And even though it's a product that until the convenience changes for the benefit of businesses, we're allowed, we weren't going to have those products available for use because they weren't considered to be appropriate. Well, we gave in. So you sign the letter that you understand that even though it's not the best thing for you, and it comes with flexibility restrictions and it comes with high costs and fees and high commissions, that you're okay with that. And you're going to sign off that you've been given all that information and you don't care. And that's when they can continue to charge their 10% commission or however they adjust their compensation for that rollover. Aren't you happy about that? Maybe not. So, you know, I don't know about you, but, you know, I was listening to somebody, a financial services show, and he made the point that based upon how they work and how we work as well, which is on a fee basis, not commission, it would take us about 35 years to generate the same compensation that it would take one of those annuity product salesmen 2 hours to achieve. How do you feel about that? Is that the way you want to do business? Probably not. If you have any questions about that, or what's in your best interest, or how to work with a financial advisor who truly works under a fiduciary standard, give us a call, again at 908-713-6600. I want to thank you for listening because it's a beautiful day, and those of you who are in your car or on your technology or listening in the office, thank you very much. You have been listening to Some Things About Money. This is Joe Patton with Tony Clark. wanting to make sure that when you get out, go shopping, buy Hunterdon, buy often, have a great day.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led